Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and just home from holiday co-host, Monica. Hi, Monica. How are you today?
Hi, Amanda. I'm great. Tired, back from Morocco. I'm clean again, and yeah, tired still.
You make it sound like there was no showers in Marrakesh or something.
Oh, there were great showers in Marrakesh. I really loved mine. But you go around the streets, a lot of stuff is happening there. So cobras, monkeys, all that stuff. So I like to get washed afterwards as well. I mean,
that's fair.
Not that I was in contact with them because they looked horrible and sad and stuff. But whatever. Yeah, no, otherwise it was great.
Good. Well, I, for one, am very glad to have you home. And I'm very glad to have you here on this awesome episode that we have today, because we have a super special guest.
Yes, I'm so excited. That's the best thing to come home to.
Yeah, I agree. So I would like to introduce our guest, Patra. Hi, Patra.
Hey, guys.
For those in the audience that don't know, Patra is a professional Hearthstone player who is currently competing in the Grandmasters, which is an ongoing Hearthstone tournament, which I'm sure she will tell you more about because it's awesome.
And yep. In a few episodes previously, we already talked about, or we mentioned you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A while ago. Because of what was happening with you and the harassment that you experienced because people are assholes. So that was our statement to that.
Yeah.
But we're here for the good stuff today. Because we want to know everything about you.
Yes, all the good and all the bad. I'm ready.
Yay, and we are so ready too. So would you like to introduce yourself, Patra, and tell us a bit about who you are?
Mm-hmm. So, I was born and raised in the Philippines, and I lived there for most of my life. And the last year actually, my teenage life was all in New Zealand, actually. And then I went back to the Philippines and I went to college in the Philippines for animation. And then I spent a year in France. And then I just recently moved to Atlanta and I've been here for about a month. But yeah, after animation, I dabbled in like freelance graphic design, and then it just somehow led me to trying out streaming, and then I played Hearthstone, and now I'm, you know, a streamer for Hearthstone, and I'm part of Grandmasters. It's just crazy how everything just landed to where it is right now.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome, and it gives hope for people like me who have just started streaming and we're freelancing, and it's like, it can happen.
Yeah, many things can happen, actually. You never know.
For how long have you been streaming or playing Hearthstone? I always have issues pronouncing that game, to be honest. It always doesn't sound like there's an TH in there, but then there is, so I don't know. So
it's hard on that Austrian tongue.
Hearth.
Yes, exactly. It's very hearth on the Austrian tongue. Anyway, how long have you been playing the game?
I started playing it casually. Like, this is like not streaming it in like early 2015. Mm-hmm. And I started my stream, like my very first stream on Twitch was like October 2015.
Nice.
And I was very in and out. I think I got really into it a year later, where I started getting better equipment. So let's say like October 2016, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a little bit more serious about this because I see that it's growing. And then I've been at it ever since. So it feels like I've been streaming for 4 years
That's really cool. And obviously you like streaming most of the time?
I do. Right now I'm a little bit on a break. I think it's mainly because of Grandmasters is taking a lot of my time. It's like I'm preparing and playing and practicing for Grandmasters that once I'm done, I feel like, oh, my brain is so fried from thinking about Hearthstone. I don't really want to stream it, like spend the rest of like more hours streaming it. That's just like a full day of Hearthstone. But yeah, so that's how I'm feeling recently.
That makes sense.
It's just, I think that it's really hard to be a competitive player and a streamer at the same time. Like you have to find the right balance or have a really good schedule, and I'm kind of bad with schedules. So yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to add.
No, that's fair. I was just going to say, I suppose that you can't really stream what you're practicing for the Grandmasters.
Yeah, for this season, no, it's really hard to practice on stream because there's banning, there's protecting, and there's a banning of a deck. And with the old format, the first season, Grandmaster season one, it was called Specialist, where you bring one deck only. And once everybody's deck lists were out, it was okay to practice on stream because everybody kind of knew what was coming already. Yeah, so with this new format, you can't practice on stream, so it's a little bit different.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Also, so much strategy behind that game that I can't wrap my head around anyway.
Yeah, like the banning process, or the protecting banning process sometimes is like a mind game almost, or like rock, paper, scissors. And I'm always trying to read my opponent. And last week, I basically failed both of my matches. I failed reading it well because I feel like there's like different levels of the mind game. So level one would be like queuing up first the most obvious deck that you plan to play because it beats like two out of three of their decks. And then like level two is like countering what you think they're going to queue, countering that level one. So the first match that I had this weekend that just passed, I went level one and my opponent read that, and I was like, no, his deck beats me. And then the match after, which was Sunday, I decided to go level two, and then he went level one, so I was like, no. And it's crazy because like losing the first match like really does suck, but you can always reverse sweep, of course. But yeah, sometimes like, yeah. I think I was just too into the mind games like this previous weekend. Like I kind of screwed myself over. That's what I think anyways.
I actually managed to catch your match live on Sunday. I don't normally catch them because I'm terrible at actually watching streams on Twitch. But I was like, yay, I could catch this live. And that was tough. Like I saw his opening hands. You're playing against Tom. And yeah. Not my partner, Tom, just for the listeners. but yeah, it was his opening hands. I was like, oh, there's no coming back. Like, this is really shit opening hands for both. Yeah. Like, yeah,
Shaman against Priest is just bad. It's because he protected his Priest, actually. And I protected my Warrior. And I was like, yes, because Warrior beats Priest most of the time. And that's when, and then after that, we banned accordingly. And then when we were deciding, I was like, is he going to pick Priest first because he protected it? Or is he, and I could go my Warrior. But I was like, it's so obvious because I protected my Warrior. I don't want to cue my Warrior first because he's not going to cue Priest. So that's when I went, like, I thought he was going to pick Druid. And that's why I went Shaman. But then it turns out he went Priest. Just so you understand it a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. It's all those mind games, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think I need to study like game theory or something. And that's what a couple of people have told me, to just help better with these mind games. Because they say sometimes like it, just thinking too much into it can actually screw you over.
Like in real life.
Like sometimes people just keep it simple. That's the bottom line, you know? And then like you're here just like overthinking it.
It sounds a lot like poker, though I have no idea about poker either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I play poker, Texas Hold'em. I love poker. The good thing with poker is that you can fold. Like you're sort of like investing in certain hands, right? and you can fold when you feel like you're beat. And folding, making a good fold does still feel like a good win to you because you're saving some money.
Which is always great.
Yeah. But in Hearthstone, you're kind of like, well, this is what I queued. Let's move on to game two and see what happens there. And it's best of three. So if you lose twice, you're kind of just done.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's a shame as well, the way that it worked out this weekend for you.
Hopefully it'll be getting better. Like, I've very much accepted how Hearthstone is. And, you know, you could, even though you prepare a lot for it, sometimes you could just lose still. And that's why it's a little bit frustrating sometimes, because, you know, a lot of the audience just look at your score and just be like, oh, you're terrible. They don't realize that sometimes you can play decently or have decent games or just play fine, and it just wasn't in it for you. Like, you just couldn't win. There's this guy in season one. His name is, I hate to use him as an example, but he was doing really well. I won't say his name, but he was doing really well in season one. In season two, he's gotten a really bad score, and people are also giving him crap now. And he's been tweeting it, tweeting like how upset he is or like what's happening. And the thing is, I couldn't really do that for myself last season, because if I made any sort of negative tweet or any sort of opinion, people would come at me like, well, no, you just suck. You know, so I was like, I was not going to tweet anything. But it's just so interesting for me now. Like, of course, I don't wish it upon anybody. Mm. But it's just like him going through that now is like, I'm glad it shows people that it doesn't just happen to me just because I'm a girl, guys. Like, it could happen to anyone. And I've talked to other pros. I was like, do you believe that you could play fine and decent for like all your games, but you could just go 0-7 or 0-9? And they're like, yep, it can happen. It's like, there's always that chance.
How does Grandmasters work for an idiot like me who has no idea? So you, or generally Hearthstone, you do have a specific deck that you choose that you then play with?
Mm-hmm. So every week we have to pick 4 decks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we submit that. And then right before a match, they ask us to protect one deck and ban one deck from our opponents, and it can't be the deck that they protected. So there's like a guy in the middle that sort of just goes, okay, tell me what deck you protected, and then I'll tell him. And then he'll do the same to the other guy. And then he'll sort of tell me, okay, Tom banned this deck from you. Oh, sorry, Tom protected this deck. Tom protected Priest. And then he'll tell Tom that I protected Warrior. And then the next level is like, tell me what deck you're going to ban. And then they tell us what deck we've banned from each side. And then, so we're left with 3 decks that we can play, the one that we protected and the other 2 that are left. Mm-hmm. So you technically don't have to play one of your decks. You just have to win with 2 of your decks.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the current format.
So basically it could just be, you could have the smartest decks if the other one just has one that fits better. There's also a huge luck situation in all of that, isn't there? Even though there's so much strategy as well. But if you have the wrong deck playing the wrong thing, then you can be as smart as you want and it can still be bad, like you said.
I think the first couple of weeks, people were still figuring out what were the best decks. And, you know, the meta is always slowly kind of changing. It's like you have to be ahead by knowing what is the best 4 decks to bring every single week. And I noticed, like, if someone has like kind of like a weak lineup, maybe there's like one deck that's kind of like a weaker link for them, then it gives you kind of an edge a little bit, because it's like, oh, okay, he doesn't really have like the best lineup. And maybe like I see that most, like a few of my decks beat that 4th deck really well, and like, so he's kind of like stuck on 3 only rather than no stuck on 2 rather than 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's against Tom, for example, he had a really good lineup. I feel like his 4 decks were just the very best. I didn't bring Priest last week, but I am noticing that it is the best deck to bring. It was weird because Priest got nerfed. One of its cards was nerfed like a week before. So I thought Priest was okay, but not the best. And I found out this past weekend that, you know, Priest is actually the nuts. Like, everybody's playing it on the ladder right now. So I'm pretty sure this upcoming week of Grandmasters, you're going to see like everybody bringing priests. And I'm just wondering, like, see, the next thing would be like, maybe one of their decks beats priest. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they bring one new deck that beats priest also. Like, there's a couple of decks that already beat priest, but I don't know. Maybe they bring like an extra one just in case. But who knows?
Yeah, they like tailor their decks just to beat the priest deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like a lot of people are kind of queuing priest first based off what happened last week. Like, I'm going to play the best deck first.
Yeah, maybe that's the strategy.
Yeah, it's the safest, or just playing the best deck, right?
Yeah. So how long would a season of Grandmasters last for?
7 weeks, I think it is.
And you're playing every single weekend?
Yeah, 2 matches every single weekend. It could be either be Friday and Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday.
And when you say match, you play again, I obviously, again, have no idea. You play against one other, or like in a tournament situation kind of thing?
There's like a schedule all laid out where I face 2 people only on the weekends. So let's say Saturday I face this one guy and Sunday I face another guy. And that match lasts like an hour and a half max. And then after that, you'll see the casters will be casting the next game after me. It's just like they'll do like 5 games, let's say, of APAC region first, and then it'll go to EU region where they do another 5 games, and then Americas for another 5. And then they do that. They do that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because we're like 48 players, and it's just like 7 weeks long. And then at the end, they'll look at our score. There's 14 games total. So you could go 0-14. Like that would be the worst score. Like just like not winning at all. Yeah. So by the end of like the 7 weeks, if you're one of the bottom, if you are the bottom of your group, because there's 2 groups in each region. So there's 2 groups in APAC, they split, and then 2 groups in EU, 2 groups in NA, Americas. And if you're at the bottom of your group, there's 2 people going to be relegated. So 2 people from APAC are coming out, 2 people from EU coming out. And then to whoever does well in Masters, the Master Tours of Hearthstone will replace the people that just left Grandmasters.
Okay.
It's a bit that makes complicated, sense to me. Yeah.
Does it make sense to Monica though? She looks a little bit confused.
So it's not like a knockout system. Everybody stays the 7 weeks, but then who has the highest number? The lowest ones get kicked out. And
yeah, the top 4 also goes to the championships.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, which is happening at BlizzCon. I think season 1, we've already gathered like 4 people who are going to BlizzCon to compete. I'm going to go to BlizzCon and watch that.
So for how long is it already running? Like how far in are you now?
We're at week 4. Okay. Yeah, we're at week 4.
And so the first few are so high already that they're going to stay there, basically. And you already know that they are going to. Wow.
I think Hunter Ace is at 6-0 right now, which is insane. Like, it's always nice, right? He hasn't even lost yet. It's insane. But there's a lot of people who are still like 2-3, etc. I only have 1 win as of now.
Hey, yay, but at least means you're not going to be ending in like 0-14. So,
yeah, I remember last season it took a while until I got my first win, but I'm happy that's happened already. People were just, I remember just being 0-7 last season, and people were just like, yeah, she's never going to win, you know, just. And it gets really tough when you're in that situation, because even if you're a guy, you know, like the pressure gets you. It's like, the more you want a win, you're like, can I get a win this time? And then once you get it, you're so relieved.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you're playing, would you overthink and consider your plays too much and kind of get up in your head, get stuck in there while you're playing?
Sometimes there are certain turns in Hearthstone that are really hard, and you rope a little bit longer. I always rope even some simple turns, because you're still like sort of planning it out. Even if you could even be planning like another turn, or like thinking about what they might play on this upcoming turn of theirs. But yeah, I notice with myself if I'm behind on board, like I'm kind of losing and I have to figure out a way to like come back, it kind of screws me up a little bit, especially if the board is at a really, yeah, like tough state for me. That's usually where I most likely make misplays if I'm like really behind. But when I'm ahead on board, like I really make sure I'm on point and just like try not to screw this up, Petra. You're ahead. But yeah.
Oh, for sure. And I know that last season you had tweeted that the audience wasn't very kind to you.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching how the audience is for everybody with guys and with me. It just feels like I'm under a microscope more than some of the other people because, you know, I'm the only girl, just so happens to be. And like with other players, there's people in chat that goes, oh, he's bad, oh, these plays are terrible. These are like the general ones, and I don't get mad about them, like if they say the same thing to me. But there's just so, like, I don't really know where to draw the line with some of these comments. And like I sometimes there's, of course, you know, those typical sexism ones where it's like, oh, what's a girl doing here? She should be in the kitchen, you know, something stupid like that. Or this win doesn't count because it's like against a girl. It's a free win. It's like there's stuff like that that I read and it's really annoying. But I'm almost used to it now. Like, I'm just like, I don't even go to the chat anymore. Like, if I can't watch my games because it's so tempting to just click on the button to see the chat. Because I'm human, right? I want to see what people are saying. But like, I wouldn't want to watch my games because I want to know what the casters have to say. And like, I want to learn from my VOD. But I just don't like doing it at all because I hate looking at the chat. And I remember one person even said like, oh, Patra's playing. I would rather watch Kibler's dog like eat. You know, it's just like, I like that is offensive to me, but like that maybe is. Some people don't care about that. Like maybe a mod can look at that in the channel and be like, eh, it didn't say anything bad. But like, it feels like almost like a personal kind of attack to me a little bit. Yeah. So like, I don't know where to draw the line. That's the thing. So if it's comments like that, I think they should just delete it. But yeah, they've gotten better at, I think there was this one, like just recently, maybe you've seen tweets about it. There was this one guy who was trying to like rile people up and just say sexist comments in the chat. And I just sort of like, I saw it all of last season and I saw it again this season. I even messaged him, hey, why are you being a dick? And he's like, I don't even really remember what he said. I sort of just warned him. I was like, if you keep up with this attitude, I'll have to tell like someone, you know, like a moderator to just ban you. And he was just all angry, like, oh, why are you threatening me? Which is not a threat. It's just saying like, relax, you know, like, cause it's kind of hurtful and you shouldn't be doing things like that. Anyways, he acted from me just telling him that way. I was like, okay, I'm getting this guy banned. So I messaged someone from Blizzard and I was like, please ban this guy. And they did. And he was upset with the ban and he started messaging like the moderators saying I'm not sexist and stuff like that. And one of the moderators, which happens to be Gia, decided to go back into the VOD and like find proof that he was. And she made a tweet and about it. And it just like, it was funny. Everybody on like, this is actually the first time that something like this was kind of addressed. And a lot of people were like, yes, you know, good on you, you know, for getting people like that in chat. And even girls came out and said, you know, thank you so much for making my experience better by like banning people like this, because it's so hard to watch just like rooting for Patra and seeing like stupid people in chat like that.
Yeah, it definitely is, as an audience member, hard to see like people that you respect and that you're rooting for, like you say, getting shit on basically because of their gender. Like it's not cool. I was talking to my boyfriend about this the other day and we were saying like, you know, if a male streamer makes a move that you wouldn't move or that you wouldn't play, it's like, okay, well, I wouldn't necessarily have done that. Like, that wasn't the move that I would have done or the play I would have done. However, if, for example, it's you or another female player, it's like, oh, she made that shit play because she's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing something completely irrelevant, like gender, into it when it's a game like Hearthstone, it's like, just because, you know, just your gender doesn't have anything to do with the way that you play the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah. So many people just think that way. It's, yeah. And then there's like a lot of people join in on that bandwagon, you know? So we just got to like kind of cut it down so that not a lot of, like, it just slowly stops people from saying silly things like that.
I think it's sometimes so difficult because people feel that whatever they do on the internet is fair game, right? They can do whatever they want. They don't get penalized for it. They can do whatever they feel like they're doing. Sometimes I don't even think that they would publicly do that in their own lives with people that they cross paths with.
Mm-hmm.
But online, everything is just fair game. And I feel there some sort of shift needs to happen mentality-wise there, because it's just not. Like, people get upset when they read negative things about them, when they get bullied, basically. So just because it's written doesn't make it less hurtful.
For sure. Like, and everybody has a limit, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are, sometimes their advice to me would be like, oh, just ignore it. Just, yeah, you'll be fine. And it's like, yeah, I know, but let's say a kid at school gets bullied like for a whole year. Yeah. He's going to break at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, and it's like, sometimes I have like these moments where I'll like snap at someone and like on my stream, because like, you know, it just takes like a bad day.
Yeah.
And then it'll come out. But yeah, mm-hmm. I like I told you guys, I've dealt with it a lot already. So I'm kind of like used to it, but it sucks that it's taken like this much, and now I'm like, okay, like it was like a whole experience, like up and down. And sometimes I've even felt like scared, like I just want to hide in the corner, like I don't even want to like play. Like, I have to do it because it's my job to play, but you know, it's tough sometimes.
I think it's really sad that it's something that you've had to get used to, just that it's become such the norm for you that it doesn't even bother you anymore. Like, it's just quite a sad state of affairs.
It's gonna start, like, it's gonna start like this at the beginning, and it's just gonna get better. It can only go up, right?
Mm-hmm.
From this. So that's how I look at it. Like, someone has to take, like, the first few girls in any game in the esports scene has to take this, and it sucks, but change will happen slowly. The worst part about being the only girl is that, it feels like there's some people who just think that my actions reflect every other single girl's actions. Mm. And it's like, that's not the case. Like, if I do badly, it doesn't mean like all girls are going to do badly. That's just silly. We're all different people, and, you know, we have different journeys like in the game. So
I don't get why this stuff like this would be generalized, because playing a game like Hearthstone doesn't require any specific skill that would be tied to a gender. So there are like millions of guys out there who can't play shit in Hearthstone, and they just don't have the practice. But that has nothing to do with them being guys, and you playing great is because you put the work into it and you're good at it, and that's your work that you put in there. And it's not because you're a girl or because you're a guy or whatever, but it's because you worked hard for it to get to where you are now.
Yeah, I've played it a lot because like I said, four years of streaming Hearthstone has gotten me here, basically.
I just find that super rude that people just assume that you must be bad because you don't have a noodle flying around between your legs. I don't know.
We're also playing against like, they should think about it. Like, I'm playing against like some of the best players in the world, and I happen to be probably like the underdog of the whole league.
Yeah,
so it's going to be tough for me for sure. And I want to, you know, like, my goal was to just not come last and try to do, you know, as best as I can. But I've already accepted, you know, like, if I do get relegated, you know, it is what it is. And some people are like, oh, that's a bad mindset to have. I'm like, no, it's not. Because it's like you're kind of being okay with whatever happens. Like, you know that if this happens, it's fine. I can focus on other things. And it was a great experience. But of course, I'm going to try my best. I'm not like going, oh, I'm going to lose. I'm not saying I'm going to lose. I'm still trying.
Yeah, I think that's a good mindset to have, actually, because it kind of, if the worst does happen and you are relegated, like it's not going to completely shake your worldview, and like you're not going to be really like super hard on yourself or anything for what happens.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, like especially all the lowest points right now, they all have it in the back of their mind that they could get relegated, you know, and they have to come to terms with it. Like if they are, it's fine. And what's the next thing for them?
Do you think that in order for change and progress to happen in terms of horrific comments in chat, for example, that it's something that we as like a gamer society can do on our own, like shift that mentality up a level so that certain people aren't dicks? Or do you think it's going to take something like stronger Twitch moderation, for example, to like bring those changes about?
I think the Twitch moderation helps for sure. I don't think we can ever completely stop it, because there's always going to be new people coming in saying stuff. But if they see that it's wrong, like if you just leave it up there in the chat, that already is a bad example of like, because they think like, oh, I can get away with it. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. But if they see that it just gets deleted and nobody likes those things, then they probably will get bored of it after a while and just stop saying it. It starts with one person and then it starts with two, and then they're like, oh, let's all join in.
Yeah.
It just gets really bad.
Stupid
herd mentality.
But like I said, it's where most of the players get the same thing. Just I think sometimes with mine, I see it gets like a little, like it crosses the line a little.
I mean, everybody has an opinion. They have it in every sport. People shout at football players for not doing the right move.
Exactly.
Even though they sit on their couch eating potato chips and being overweight and would never be able to even remotely participate in a game like this. So people have opinions about competitive sports all the time. It's just really annoying when it gets so personal and so frequent. That it influences you. Sorry.
I agree. Like I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to get mad about the comments that are just like, oh, that person sucks. I can play better than that, you know, because those are just the general lines that they're going to always say.
How do you get on with the other players in the Grandmasters? Like, do they, obviously, like you said earlier, they are at the top of the game pretty much. How are their interactions with you? Like, would you talk to them at all, or at all? I don't actually know, like, because you all aren't really face to face with each other when you're playing. So do you have like any kind of interactions with them?
We're fine when we talk to each other, and I have a couple of pro friends. Two of them aren't in Grandmasters. Yeah, I talked to two other Grandmasters. So there's four, two that aren't in Grandmasters and two that are, and we just only exchange words and like small little advices and stuff, but it's never actually like practice games. I notice when I try to ask for help with like just having practicing games with people don't have time, or they'll say like, yeah, I'll help you, but then, you know, it takes a lot out of their own schedule to have the time to play with you. So I kind of stopped asking people for that, and I just started talking to people for advice only, like with pros, like, what do you think about this, or like this sort of tech, and then see what they think. And, you know, I just like, it's like nice to have confirmation sometimes that you're doing something good. Right now with Grandmasters, it's really strange, because my streaming community think it's so easy for me to just, they think I have a practice group or something with other Grandmasters, because I know some Grandmasters have a practice group of two or three people where they're practicing with each other, and my community thought the same with me. And I was like, no, actually, I'm not even like playing games with any of the other Grandmaster players. And they're like, well, I, you know, can't you just ask them? And I was like, it's not as easy as you think, you know, this is like a competition. It's not all exactly friendly all the time. And it's like, I get that they're doing stuff for themselves already. And they just don't have the time. And that's just something that girls in the competitive scene have always realized, that it's hard to be part of a practice group. And, you know, many girls will not even be part of a practice group, and it's hard for them to get better because guys feel like they contribute nothing to the table. And they're like, why should they waste their time helping, you know, a girl? So a lot of it that you have to do it yourself. And I practice with one of my mods from my stream. And I know this is going to be like super shocking to any like Hearthstone person that listens to this, but I have a mod that, you know, gets legend, like he's a good player. And I just need to play a few games every week with him just to get a feel of like what deck beats what deck, what am I comfortable with. And you know, I always thank him. I'm just like, oh my God, thank God I have you, right? Because I do need to get practice games in. So that's how I'm doing it. And last week, I decided to help other grandmasters with something, trying to show people like, this is not like a one-way street where I'm only asking for things. I can help you. And so I helped a couple of people with some prep, two grandmasters with some prep work, and they actually thanked me in their interviews. And I was like, yay, that's so wholesome. Like, I'm really happy that like I'm slowly trying to like show that I can contribute something. And a lot of people like saw that and they liked it, and they're like, that's awesome, Petra. So
it sounds as kind of sad and so much effort at the same time, which is so sad.
It is sad, but that's just one of the negatives about being a girl gamer. Like, practice groups are going to be so hard for you. And your efforts and achievements are lessened. And of course, we've already talked about the, you know, negativity. That's another one. And just hard to fit in. You feel like I think there's this weird, strange thing where sometimes the guys get teased. Like, if they're seen talking to you or hanging out with you, I get this vibe, or like I see it. All of these are just my own personal experiences that I'm sharing. So you'll see the guy just sort of get teased, like, oh, you're so thirsty, you like her, right? Or something like that, rather than it's just friends. And because of like, they don't want to deal with that. So they would rather like just stay away from the girl to like have any sort of like embarrassment or shame. Or, and then so it's like, oh, you kind of feel kind of alone in this, and you're looking to find maybe another fellow girl in the scene who you can relate with.
Yeah.
Do you think that I'm not sure if that's a one step back suggestion, but having a female league,
would that they be... had one actually. Okay. It wasn't by Blizzard though, because it's, I can understand why Blizzard doesn't want to do like an all female league.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, bad for them. I don't know, but because a lot of people ask like, why don't they and stuff like that. And I tried to think of it from their perspective, but other organizations have done it. And there was one called WSOE, which did it really well. And a lot of people were liking the format actually that they did for the girls. And it was nice to see more girls competing, and the guys were rooting for us in the chat. There was nothing really negative too. And their moderation was so good in the chat.
Probably has the same issues like every female sport, where female sports get less money than the male versions of the same thing. Like, female WNBA gets paid less. The skiers get paid less. So maybe that's why Blizzard doesn't even want to start with that, because esports in itself is sometimes just hard to finance, I assume.
I think the money also depends on the, like, how many players are in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So far, well, WSOE, I think that was the money that they put up for the girls was really good, better than some of other Hearthstone events I've seen. So we were all happy with that. But yeah, I've seen like some Chinese tournaments, they've had lesser prize pools for the girls, but I think it's only because there's just less there's less players and things like that.
But for a general well-being, it sounds like something that would help a lot of the issues that you're facing, like the harassment and the not working with each other because you're a girl and shit like that.
Yeah, it's hard to really just, you know, make it all, it, like, it's not really like black and white for sure. There's like, I just like sort of saying like how it is for some people. Like, obviously, like, I'm sure like there's guys, some guys who will probably, there have been guys who want to help me sometimes and come out and reach out to me from the scene. But, you know, sometimes like they're busy with life and stuff. So I get that too.
What do you think the future of Hearthstone esports looks like for women? Or what do you think needs to change for it to be a more well-rounded and accepting environment?
I think it looks good for women because it's just a, I feel like right now there are a lot of girls who play Hearthstone already, but they're just more on like the casual side and not competitive yet. And it's good that we're seeing a lot of, you know, I think like the ratio of like casual girls would be like to casual guy players would be like 30 to 70 or 20 to 80, something like, I'm not sure exactly, but that's what I'm guessing. And competitive right now looks really small. Like if there's like a tournament, like a Master Tours, for example, which has 300 people in it, I would think like 10 of them are women.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's this is competitive. So yeah, I think it's slowly growing. If you could compare those stats to like the very first year of Hearthstone, there was only like a couple of girls. So it's getting better and better, and more girls are coming out. And I think it's because they're seeing girls, right? They're seeing girls who play. And like, I remember I saw Eloise playing and I was like, oh, she's so cool. I want to be like that, you know? And now I'm in her position, it feels like, and people are looking at me and wanting to be where I am too. So it's like a cycle, and everyone's like coming up, and it's great to see more girls.
We had a guest on a few weeks ago who works in esports from the broadcasting and casting side, and she feels that in the next 5 to 10 years we're going to see a much bigger influx of women in esports, and I do think she's right, because there's more than we saw 5 years ago now, so in another 5 years it's just growing for us.
Exactly.
And thanks to people like you who already show us the way.
Yeah, paving the way for us.
This is the thing. It's like, now that I know what it's like to go through it, I'm thinking like, what if like Eloise, you know, someone I looked up to her, she probably went through the same things, or maybe even worse. Who knows? Like, everyone has like an interesting story to what they faced, like as a girl in the competitive scene.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And we're glad you did, even though it's painful sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, podcasts like these like help so that, you know, people on the outside can understand things clear and, you know, just so that we get the word spread, and like it just helps the situation to improve.
We try our best.
We do. What advice would you give to young girls or not so young girls looking to get involved with Hearthstone on a professional level?
Specifically young girls looking to get into competitive esports, just be one tough cookie because it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. It really is. But yeah, like we talked about, it's okay because the future looks better. So we have that to look forward to.
I like that one. Be one tough cookie.
Yeah, I do too. And what advice would you give to me who's trying to teach my 69-year-old dad how to play Hearthstone?
Oh, I think it's like Hearthstone's a great game where it's so simple, but it could be so deep also. And I think just, you know, pay attention to little small details if you can about making good value trades, or when can you attack face, you know, like whether you should trade or go face, and what kind of deck you're playing, and make sure you understand that kind of deck. Like, how do you win with it? What is your win condition? And just being knowledgeable about all the decks in the meta really helps. Like, so you kind of know, once you know the decks, you kind of know what cards you can look out for in certain turns. Oh, he has 4 mana. He's going to play this, or he could play that card, you know, stuff like that.
Okay. Lots of learning for him then.
Or, you know, he doesn't have to. He could just, you know, play it as it is. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. He was so excited. He said to me the other day, he goes, I won 2 games. I still don't know what I'm doing, though.
I feel him on that one.
Eventually, he'll start understanding more and more. See, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
The learning curve.
Yeah, it's a good curve. Fun. Mm-hmm. Well, that's about what we've got today, Patra. Do you have anything else you'd like to say to us or to our audience?
I just want to say thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun sharing my experience. And make sure to watch me on stream, twitch.tv/Patra. And yeah, if you want to try and watch my games, that would be great.
Yeah, for all the support in chat.
Mm-hmm. The good kind of support, though.
Yes. Oh, for sure. We'll put your Twitch link in our show notes. And where else on the internet can we find you?
Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Patrick Cadness. That's my full name. And I have Instagram too, which is also Patrick Cadness. And YouTube, I'm just Patra. But yeah, mainly on Twitch is the best place. And my Discord. Those are like the two places I'm most active. My Discord is discord.gg/Patra.
Awesome. Brilliant.
We'll put all that information in our show notes.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for doing this with us today.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was so cool.
I hope you guys like got to know it a little bit better. And, you know,
it's so interesting to see the position of someone who has been in not such a great position for once as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to see the behind the scenes as well, because people always seem to think that there are not actually people involved or people hurt by their behavior. So I feel it's important to be visible and vocal about this too, that it's not always just fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. It isn't.
So thanks so much.
Sometimes, it takes hard work.
Brilliant. Well, I feel inspired to maybe stream some Hearthstone tonight.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again, Patra, and good luck for the rest of the Grandmasters.
Thanks, guys.
You're definitely going to win more. We just manifest that now.
Mm. Yeah, manifest that shit.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay, listeners, and we will speak to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.